right, so welcome. We have what an incredible first guest. I'm so honored to have you here, Mark, really. Because the show is Opportunity Knocks. And I've been following you since I met you, you know, 3 years ago or so, 4 years ago. The one thing I notice about you and your business is that you're a giver. And you do that with your family. I've seen that, which is the number one most important thing. But I also see how much you give. And that's kind of how, a big reason of how you've been so successful is the giving part, right? So first of all, I want to go back, Mark. Tell me back now to the Cleveland days. And I read something about a trailer park. Yep. Did you grow up in a trailer park? Give me the backstory here.
Yeah, so I grew up an hour east of Columbus, Ohio, small town, 650 people. I grew up in a trailer park until I was 10 years old. And then my parents moved into the house they're still in today, right? So small town, mm-hmm. no cops, no stoplights, just hardworking, good everyday people. And my dad did construction. My mom was like an admin at an office, and I just saw him work. You know, that's how I grew up my whole life.
Any brothers, sisters?
Yeah, I have two sisters, two younger sisters.
Younger. So
yeah.
You were the oldest one.
Yep. And we're all 13 months apart. So we have two sisters and just wild. Totally drastically different people too.
Yeah, really? So, and yeah, my family's the same way. So tell me now, as the older sibling, at 10 years old, you lived in a trailer. Where did you get the motivation? You know, in other words, tell me about the first business you started.
Yeah. Well, I've started many different things, but like my motivation come from money, right? I saw my mom and dad fighting every day about money. They didn't fight about anything else, but like, we don't have money. We can't pay the bills. They're doing like bill roulette. Literally, I remember on the table, there'd be bills and they're like, grab one. That's the one they pay. They throw the rest away. Like, that's how I grew up. I saw that my entire life. So, and again, it wasn't they're bad people. They just didn't have money and resources. So literally from like 5 years old, I was selling stuff. 7 years old, I'm doing like little like fares out back at the trailer park, making $3, a dollar, whatever. Yeah. Just like, I always felt like the way to solve a money problem is to go get money. Like mm-hmm. I always knew that. So to me, it's like opportunity was knocking every day, but like all I saw my whole life was obstacles. But I didn't see the obstacle. I saw the opportunity in that obstacle, you know.
How did you do that, though? Because that's the biggest challenge, I think, with entrepreneurs or, you know, anybody that's starting a business is they get knocked down and then they feel like, oh, it happened to me. God, they play the blame game or do this. Yeah. You're saying the opposite. And at such a young age, was it your dad that might have had that entrepreneurial side to him, even though he might have done the 9-to-5 job?
Sure.
Or grandfather, was somebody you learned from?
Just very, you know, entrepreneurial world. Like, you know, back then when you're broke, you're very resourceful anyways. If you go to a third world country, everyone's an entrepreneur, you know? True. So like they're selling bolts and nuts. I was in Haiti during one of the charity things we did. Everything's for sale. You know, there's kids out there. It doesn't matter what age or what you look like or what you're just hustling. So I saw my dad do that. You know, he's taking night jobs, day jobs, weekend jobs. Like he just had to put food on the table. So I've never been afraid of the work. Mm. So like everyone's hustling and not having money, but like, I'm like, okay, well, I don't want that. So I'm going to go figure out who do I need to become to get the money to solve this problem.
You're what? Probably 16, 17. I bet when you started your first company, I know you did side hustles and stuff like that, but first time you got incorporated and actually started a business. Tell me about that.
It was 2 days after high school. It was a seamless gutter company. This guy, Larry, in our hometown, he had this big 1978 box truck. It was sitting there. We drove by it every day to go to school. And literally just graduated high school. 2 days later, I stopped at his house and said, hey, my uncle wants to buy this. It's me, not my uncle. And because he was going to sell to a kid, right? So that's kind of how I thought. But I was like, I'm going to at least stop and see what happens. And he's like, yeah, I got in a bad car wreck. I can't climb ladders anymore. It's just sitting. And this company's been around for 15 years. I didn't even know what I was doing. And he's like, I'd sell for 50 grand. I'm like, I ain't got 50 grand. So the next day I come back and I'm like, hey, Larry, my uncle's not interested, but I'm interested. He's like, what will you pay? I'm like, what will you take? He's like, 25,000. I'm like, well, clearly I don't have 25 grand, but like, how much will you take down and will you finance me? He's like, yeah, give me 1,000 down, 287 a month for 5 years. That was it. And I took it over and, you know, started working. That's, I mean, literally
so what
that day.
When you came home and your parents, who they have these 9-to-5 steady jobs,
yeah,
and their son who just graduated high school says, I'm financing, I'm buying a business now. What did they must have been like, are you crazy, Mark?
Yeah.
You know, did they doubt you or were they like encouraging?
Yeah, my parents were always cool. You know, they knew I was different. Like in school, I hated school. You know, I was a collaborator in high school. They called it cheating, unfortunately. You know, because in real life, you need to collaborate. Like I realized as you get longer in the game, I need a good bookkeeper. I'm not a good guy, but I'm a good visionary. I'm not a good direct, like all these things. So my parents are like, you're crazy, but that's what you do. Go, you know, if you need help, let me know. So I actually had my aunt helping me sometimes, and my mom climbing ladders on the weekend, you know, after they get done work, like they just supported me and they would show up no matter what.
what's interesting, what you just said is, you know, I always saw you as a delegator. You use the word collaborate. And it's interesting because I noticed that you do a lot of different things, but you have, and collaborate is the right word, but delegate, I'm so used to saying, oh, I'm going to have this person do it, that delegate. You use that word collaborate versus delegate is because it's not just something you're pushing aside to somebody else. You're saying, no, we're going to do this together.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the team's only as strong as the weakest link. You know, so if I'm delegating to someone that doesn't care about this big picture, it's just a job to them. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted people that want careers with me, not jobs. I get at certain parts of life, you know, this is a journey, right? Initially, I wanted to be a business owner, hardcore, like, I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. Now I'm like, I just want to be a great leader and lead leaders. Mm-hmm. I want to build people up. I want to teach them to be better leaders, have a better life, and then them teach leaders under them. And then we could build an amazing team. Like Tom Brady, he can't do what he does if he didn't have this great center, the great tackle, the great guard, the great receivers, the great coach, the great owner. There's a spot for everybody. The question is, where's your spot?
You know, I watched the game last night. Unfortunately, the Dolphins lost that game. But Josh, the quarterback, I can't think of his name, but he got, when they interviewed him, he said, and they kept saying, how did you do this? And he said, you know, it's not me. He goes, my offensive line blocked great. So he did exactly what you're saying. Yep. And he did a national television to say, I don't want to take the credit. This is awesome. My team. It's a team effort. Yep. And that's the key. I was looking at the home service space and I'm looking at houses and I go, gosh, there's so many gutters. I've never had a gutter company come to me and say, I've never pitched on gutter business. I'm like, there's an opportunity there. Yep. Again, the show is Opportunity Knock. So this is now your seventh year kid in high school, but you saw this truck that's been sitting there and you said, there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And kudos to you for doing it at that age. Yep. But that's one example of how Opportunity Knocks and how Mark took advantage of that. Going back to the businesses, when I was looking at companies in here, I'm like, you know what? I'm looking to buy it. I'm like, eh. And then I said, I got a name for one. Ready? Gutter Done.
Gutter Done. I like it.
It's cool, right?
It's a great name.
Gutter Done. So I actually bought the domain. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to build it. And then I started looking at it. I said, you know, and maybe this was not the right mentality. You tell me, I'd love to get coached on you on this. I made phone calls to business owners that were in the home service space. Okay. Everybody seemed frustrated. Yep. Everybody seemed, they said, it's hard finding work. It's hard. And it was the complaining and a lot of negative. And then I said, now, if I bought this, am I going to just lock again? Part of my mission is to build it so I could spend time with my family and go on vacations and do this. And, you know, we did Italy for 3 months. And if you're an entrepreneur, you have the ability to do that. If I started this business, I said, maybe I'm going to lock myself in for, and I don't know if that's the right mentality, but I stepped away from that. I said, I'm not going to buy that. But I do love the home service space. And that was the one home service, which is the technology to basically help automate and streamline the whole home service space.
Yeah.
Was I thinking small? Tell me like what?
One, when I hear a lot of people talk about the problems, I get excited because I know they're frustrated. They're overwhelmed. And not only that, a lot of people use words and they don't know what the word means. It's out of context. So, you know, you and I, heart could be drastically different. You know, some people are like, I'm rich. What does rich mean? You know, because it could mean massive. Like you might be trying to be a billionaire. I'm trying to be 10 billion. Like mm-hmm. there's no, mm-hmm. what does it mean?
Yeah.
And I think the question is like, how big is the opportunity? Because if the opportunity is big enough, I just need to be back to the sports analogy. I want to be the owner, not the operator. Mm-hmm. I want to be the owner, not the quarterback. If I'm the owner and it's big enough opportunity, I could hire the Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I could hire the Belichick. I could hire the right people to help me build this empire correctly, and then give them some phantom stock, give them opportunity on the upside. Mm-hmm. We forget as entrepreneurs that a lot of people are not visionary entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're day-to-day operator entrepreneurs. You and I are cool to go on a three-month trip. The average person, they don't want to, and two, it's not fun to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we can like work and, you know, we can find how to do mm-hmm. that. But if the company's big enough, I could hire someone for, you know, $300,000 a year SVP to operate the operations. And I'm just doing what I'm doing anyways from afar, anywhere.
Would you say SVP?
Yeah, Senior Vice President.
Okay.
I like to start off with SVP because then it gives them opportunity to become a COO and then ultimately CEO. If you say COO, now all of a sudden they add 150 grand to their
and there's nowhere else to go. You went to the top. Yeah.
And that's a problem in the industry. Like in all businesses, like I don't really care about names, but people do.
Yeah.
So if you're like, yeah, you're the COO, it's like, where do I go from there? Mm-hmm. You know, they've tapped out day one. And none of that, they cost more and there's no need to do
right.
it out of the gate. And the opportunities are endless in the home service business. I mean, it's never going away. when I hear, by the way, these are all people you could potentially buy, the people that are frustrated, overwhelmed, you know, but also like, are they running operations right? Are they an operations manager? Are they operations driven? Are they growth oriented? What's their exit strategy? The majority of these people have zero exit strategy. Their kids don't want it. Like their kid, there's no kid today that wants, because says, I can't wait to install HVAC, you know, ever. There's right. no kid saying that. Unfortunately, that's a problem.
Yeah.
These guys and gals are building these organizations without an exit. So they are frustrated. They're just working to work to do what?
You know, in the little time we're spending together right now, one of the things you're really good at is you're motivating, very motivating, but you also put a vision by telling a story. Mm. Like you're really good at that. So as you were talking, I was like, I'm picturing how it's hard to do that. That goes back to leadership, right? Leading a team and getting them motivated and making them part of, this is not the Mark Evans show. This is, we're all one. And that's a great skill. So let's go back now again, that first business. So how did it end up? How did the gutter business, you built it, you had mom working a little bit, you had dad helping out.
Well, again, when you have to be resourceful, you get resourceful. There's nothing in my vocabulary that says quit. The only thing I'm going to quit is bad stuff, not good stuff. Mm-hmm. Things that serve me, not hurt me kind of thing. So I literally built that up 6 months deep. I kept meeting this guy. He kept calling me and I'm doing his gutters. Pulls up in a Porsche, smoking a cigarette. I'm like, what do you do? You know, we've been lied to saying curiosity kills the cat. Curiosity's made me wealthy. You know, I'm very curious of people, how they move, why they
move.
You're
not scared to ask.
No, because it's coming from a place of curiosity, not ego. It's not an ego thing. It's like, I genuinely am curious of how did you do that?
Yeah.
Like we all need to get more curious, honestly. Yeah. So, but I met this guy and he's like, I'm a real estate investor. I literally, in my head, I'm like, I'm a real estate investor. I'm going to be a real estate investor. I took every dime I had. It was $2,500 back then. I went to a 3-day seminar. This is TV days, by the way. This is not internet. Mm-hmm. And I saw this guy, Russ, in Cape Coral, make a phone call, and the lady sold the house over the phone. I said, I can do that. She didn't see what he looked like. Owner financing, no money down. But like, she's just like, I'm divorcing. I'm done. I'm out. Take it. I don't want it. And I was like, all he did is make a phone call. The older people that came out, I'm 18. Yeah. The older people, and they're like, that's staged. And I'm like, huh? Like they saw the problem. They saw like a mistake. Being green is a good thing. It was not staged. You can't stage what happened there. So I went home and I got to work. I had to make money. So, you know, I just didn't quit. I just kept going.
So you had that while the gutter business was still operating?
Yeah. Cause I had to learn how to like make calls, connect with people. I literally used every dollar in the gutter company to go to the seminar. So I had to make money. So within the first 60 days, I did my first deal while I'm doing the gutters to be able to make the money, to get the coil stocks, so I could do the jobs. And I remember I made 15 grand on that deal with a dollar. It's the biggest check I ever seen in my entire life. Right. So I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. If I only did, imagine how big this could get. So I started making a plan of getting out of the gutter company. I still did construction though, cause I was a rehabber, right? I did rehab construction. Actually in that time frame too, I bought a garage door company, started siding window, really started like pack it. Cause you're at the house and the lady's like, oh, can you do my bathroom? Yes. Hey, I need my roof done. Yes. Like, you know, it's just opportunity, right? Yeah. Opportunity is not, the truth is people are telling people opportunities for them to help them. And they say, oh yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I'm good.
So they're just basically missing out on
everywhere. It's happening everywhere.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I could stop myself sometimes and say, wait, they asked me. And you know, as an example, I have my real estate broker's license and somebody says to me, oh, I'm listing a house and I don't want to sell a house. I don't want to go back to real estate, but I have that license. There's an opportunity to make money on that.
Sure.
So that's not a good example for me, but it's the truth. You know, it's something that I got to work at is taking advantage of. One of the things you mentioned is you took the money you made in a gutter business and you invested in yourself in education. That's an opportunity right there, right? That you saw. What made you think that going to a seminar is going to, you obviously didn't know anything about it. Did that guy tell you the?
Well, no. I mean, I think the first book I ever read my entire life was called Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. I read it at 18, actually right before I turned 18. I never read any books in school ever. I just like read enough to get past the test or whatever. But Think and Grow Rich made sense to me. The mastermind effect and all these things that connect with good people, go where the knowledge is. And it's like, if I want to learn to be real estate, go to the real estate guy, teach you real estate. Everyone I talk to, they're like, you're crazy. Go get a job. If it's so easy, why doesn't everyone do it? And I'm like, they just don't know. I'm like, it's awesome. I love you guys, but I don't want what you have. I want what he has. Mm-hmm. It sounds douchey, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
And so I went out there. It's like, and I met him. His name's Russ, like I said, and everything he said made sense to me. It's like, all this stuff is math. you know, where it really gets messed up is when people put their emotions into it. And it's like, you don't understand, it's so hard. Okay, well, did you make 10 calls today? Because that's what's required.
Yeah.
No. Well, of course, it's not going to work. Yeah. It's not the system. It's you. So I just did the work. And I'm not afraid of the work. Actually, as we get bigger.
I love it
because I know most people won't do it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, for me, work's different now, though. I got to be careful not to do the work as much because the work's not all equally, the payoff's not as equal. Right. I'm looking for the multiplier work, not the addition work. But I'm not beneath to go sweep the floor. If I ask to get done, it's got to get done. I don't care who does it. And I'm not afraid to do it. But like, again, if you lead properly, ideally, that would never have to happen. Mm-hmm. But if it does, I'm ready to work, you know?
You know, you're in the real estate business now, going back. You're probably 20 years old, let's call it. You had the gutter business. Yep. And you're buying these garage doors, these small little, I guess, revenue streams. When did you realize, man, I made it. I got to look at this money.
You know, it's funny. At first, it becomes about the money. And then, but you're so busy going after the money. I was different. I was young, had no kids, had no wife. October 8th, when my grandmother passed away, that's when it kind of like made sense to me. I never really sit down and said, wow, I got money. I was actually financially free. I didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I say financially free, financially independent. Yeah. I had enough money coming in monthly to cover all my expenses and I could still make money and do nothing. But like, I couldn't live off of that today. You know, it's different, mm-hmm. different lifestyle. So I never slowed down enough to like enjoy that moment. Until my grandmother passed away, and it made me realize, like, holy shit, time is like fleeting me. 27 years old. If I die, I love working 16-hour day. Like, it's just easy to me. It's like I want to accomplish goals. That's what I want to do. So, you know, lifestyle and the rich and famous for me was my social media. I'd watch it. I'm like, how's this long-haired guy have this mansion? I want that. Yeah. Not the long hair, but the house. So, but no, for me, it's like, you know, this transition. It was just. That's when it really started. It's still today. I don't know about you, but like, I feel like I haven't done anything because I know what I'm capable of now. I know there's more out there. And the higher you get up there and the more you're doing, you're like, dude. And not only that, I'm motivated by death. I'm going to die. Yeah. 45. I hope I have a solid 45 quality years, not just years, but quality. And I'm halfway through the life span. The truth is the odds are against us. Like, I think 72 or 74 is our real age that we could potentially die. Right. So I have 30 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it really starts playing a game. And then I have kids.
Perspective and with the kids.
Yeah. You know? Everyone acts like, you know, what freaks me out is everyone acting like they're living forever.
Yeah.
Like I'm very conscious of my time, of who I spend it with and what I do with it.
Is that a switch in diet? Like I know you've gotten kind of serious on, is that kind of a wake up call for you to say, cause I need to do that too. I mean, that's something that one of my goals for this year is to take care of my body. Like, just take care of myself better, you know? I've noticed that you've done that.
Well, I think all this is important. And again, we're getting older. So yeah. I feel like I'm 21, but when I step on the ground in the morning, it does not feel like 21, you know, but no, I think where we spend our time is where our priorities lie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, everyone can say certain things, but they're, you know, if you're not showing up for your health, you're not showing up for yourself. You're, you know, it's, I just don't want to let my family down.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I know you're big on the word legacy, right? That's one of your pillars. And you know, you have your beautiful kids, your beautiful family. They're watching you close, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
how much does that play into your decisions in business? You know, what Mark might think when he's 13 or 40, like, you know what I mean? Like, is that a big play?
No, I think about it often. So yeah. I don't invest in certain categories like alcohol. I wouldn't invest because I haven't drank in over 2 years.
Good for you, man.
You know, it's not awesome. That I'm against it. It's just, it's not, I don't think it serves me or the people. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
So I wouldn't invest in that. I wouldn't invest in the cannabis business. Even listen, I think if people love it, like, it's awesome. It's just not, I don't want my kids like, oh, my dad's the biggest weed dealer. Mm-hmm. Oh, my dad's the biggest alcohol guy. You know, I just don't think that serves where I'm going in my life. Not to say it's right or wrong. It's just me. Right. And I think that's another thing in the world. Like, you know, it's cool. Social media, these micro clips are awesome. The problem is I think people are starving for long form content, quality content like this show. Mm-hmm. Like they can actually hear the whole story. Because if you get up at 6 and I get up at 4, that doesn't mean yours is right or mine's wrong. It's just we're different.
Exactly.
You know, because you might go to bed 3 hours later. I might go to bed 3 hours later. Like, so I don't think people see these moments. They just see the clips. And it's like if you pan out and you zoom out your lens, you can see the opportunity in the day and figure out what serves you, what in your day serves you. You know, you might be a night owl. I'm not. You know, if I'm not in bed by 10, nothing good happens.
See, I'm the opposite. I can't go to sleep that early. And I like getting, I feel like, you know, the kids are asleep. Everybody's like, it's just quiet and it's just my time to do it. But the negative to that is if I'm up till 1 or 2, I might be eating at one or two. Exactly. And it's like, this is not good.
It's a cycle.
Yeah. But it's interesting you say that, because a lot of times you hear these stories of athletes like Michael Jordan stuff. Oh, he's up at 5 a.m. every morning. And, but, you know, you work until 3 a.m.
Exactly.
And that's your, so it's, you know, part of what I'm doing with the show. So Opportunity Knocks, just to kind of give you a little background, I'd love to get your feedback on it, is how I'm building businesses, three of them. I mean, so my goal is to do 12 for the year.
Okay.
So three every quarter.
Wow.
Right. And I'm going to say businesses, but really it's cash flow. I'm building cash flow. The first one is going to be what I know best and what I'm really good at, which is the content part, creating content. At an SEO company, I understand how important good content is that solves problems, right? So if you can be a resource to somebody, then that's what it is. So how I'm doing that is a company would hire me, and let's just say it's a lawyer. So much competition out there with defense lawyers. But what I do is I research. I use Neil Patel's tool that he has, which I think he recently bought that, which is Answer the Public. You know, and that's one of the tools. Google Trends is awesome. I use a lot of these tools to identify what are the questions people are asking that you're looking, your ideal client profile, your ICP. What are they looking for? How are they asking that question? And now you're going to answer that. And I'm going to be the facilitator. So all of it, instead that's of great. Doing podcasts, I drive my sprinter to their office. So it's really hard to scale this, I think. And if you could see something outside of that, I'd love to hear it. But because I'm using the sprinter as the kind of the wow. The sprinter pulls into your office or your house or wherever you're at. Again, this is different than the Opportunity Knocks podcast. This is my part. It's all Opportunity Knocks part of the thing. But my part of it is I'm starting from nothing again. You know, when I say nothing, cash flow wise, coming in.
Makes
so
sense.
I'm going to do three businesses and I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail.
Sure.
And I'm okay with that.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that. But what I don't like about social media is sometimes you don't see that. People are afraid to show the failing part because they're embarrassed or whatever.
No.
But I think it's going to be something that I'm proud of to say,
absolutely.
Hey, here's how I failed on this. Mm-hmm. And this is what I did wrong. Hopefully you learn from that. There's the the value part that I'm giving. Here's what I learned from it. Here's what I did. And that's the goal. So the first one is, it's called Your Content Consultant. And I just take the sprinter to the business and then they pay me an amount. I don't know. The first couple months, because it's brand new, I'm going to charge $2,500 and I'm going to provide about 50 pieces of content. That'll include whatever platform they're on, you know, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, whatever platform. I'll put about 12 posts together from that Q&A that I did.
Okay.
I'll also do press release. I'll do the podcast. Of course, we have the podcast, the audio part, and blogs.
Nice.
So I'll create blogs for them. So I package that up and then I'll hand it to them. And if they don't have somebody to do the day-to-day SEO, whatever it is that they're doing, I can refer it out to somebody. You mentioned when we first started talking before we jumped on air, you mentioned that I can just post those. I mean, it's just
the deployment's a very important piece of that,
yeah.
Right? Because a lot of these guys will have that. They just don't know how to deploy it or don't put it in their schedule or they're half-assed. You know, they're not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest thing is this L thing, talking about your losses, it's not a loss, it's a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that's why you'll be successful at it, because we know it comes with the territory. Do you think Tom Brady steps on the field knowing he's not going to take L's? Anybody we idolize, they're right in front of you taking losses right in front of you, but they don't quit.
That's right.
They're failing. They just failed. They didn't win the game. Well, are they failures or did they fail?
Let's use Tiger Woods as an example.
Oh, yeah.
I mean
it's
he
endless.
Failed as if you look at him 4 years ago, when he was at his bottom, rock bottom, everybody turned up.
Yep.
Sponsors.
Everybody.
I mean, he was at the lowest low. And if you look today, so that's something when I say overcoming objection, drugs and women. And I mean, he was just in a bad, bad spot and he turned it around and people love the underdog,
amazing.
Right?
Yes.
They love
seeing
those stories of going from a trailer park and buying a gutter business. You know, you build up. That's a feel good story, you know?
And, well, it's a real story.
Yeah.
It's happening way more. Again, social media stripped this like it's all perfect every day. You know, that's the thing is what you're going to do is you're going to inspire people because everyone's taking losses thinking they're abnormal. No, it's perfectly normal. And it's like, the question is, what do you do when it happens? How do you react? How do you control it? Control the controllables. Like even for me, I'm doing this whole thing, 1 million to 10 million in 12 months. Like it said, like there will be losses inside of that. But
say it again, 1 million to 10 million in what?
I'm at 12 months. So I'm going to turn $1 million into 10 million in 12 months. But
how is that? Like, what is the?
Well, the biggest thing you're talking about starting three businesses a quarter. I would actually employ you to like start some, but buy many. because buying them, you actually have a track record. Starting, the hardest part in the business, 90-something percent of business fell in the first 5 years. If I can buy a company that's 6, 7, 12 years deep, the failure rate goes down drastically because it's already proven track record.
Do you think buying three? So my, maybe, again, this is my mentality, and maybe it's just thinking small. If I started or bought, because by the way, I read the book, buy, don't build.
Buy, don't build. Build, not buy.
Build, not buy.
Yeah. Buy, not build. That's it.
Yeah. And that actually came from Mark Alfieri.
Okay.
I was my partner at Brandstar. He's an awesome guy. And he said, because I told him what I was doing, he's like, instead of starting one, he said exactly what you said.
Yeah.
He goes, buy it. And here's a book. My thought was, if I do buy, I now have, I don't know, liability is the right word, but that now that
responsibility. That's going to be where, responsibility. Yeah.
That's where I'm going to be dedicated. Eliminate me from doing more than I want. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't want to get in a business where I'm stuck for a year doing gutter. You know what I mean?
You're going to get more stuck creating than you will buying. Again, if it's big enough buy, you actually would hire. You're less relevant to a purchase than you are a starting company, because you are the company in the beginning. We all are in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's us right here shooting.
Yeah,
it's us.
Yeah.
Without us, it does not exist. If I buy a company, which I have many times, I will continue to do, is I'm buying an organization. I was just looking at one today, this morning, 37 employees, management stays in place. The guy's retiring. He's 82 years old. He's done. He's out $5.4 million, but he'll owner finance the majority. All you got to do is come up with $1 million and it's yours. And it makes $1 million a year, right? So not, there's debt load and all this stuff, but like there's nothing I could add value in that company other than vision and resources. I can't do the work. I don't know anything about that kind of business.
You want to basically take what's there and optimize it, right? Make it better.
The reason most people don't optimize his businesses for the majority, and I was used to be this guy, is because I knew how to solve the problem by doing the work, right? And if I could do the work, I didn't have time to go find someone to organize it with and like create this amazing company. You know, everyone's working in a cohesive as a collective. Instead, I'm like, dude, get out of my way. I got it. I'll put the door up myself. I figure that, like, I know how to do it. So when you're in the trenches so deep, that's why a lot of small mom and pops never get to the next level. It's because no one will do it as good as me. Everyone's lazy. There's hard, you know, like all that we, again, we all have these stories, but the truth is there's a lot of great people out there. There's a lot of good people want to do the work. And not only that, if you hire two people and they only do 50% as good as you, you don't have to do the work and it's getting done at 100%. You got to figure out which battles you want. And it's all, this is all maturity through the game of business, you know. Unfortunately, some people just never get it.
And then just walk me through the process of you buying a business. So if you buy a company you're not involved in, you know nothing about, like right, the one you're looking at now, let's just say you buy that. Guy's retiring, he's going to be out.
Yep.
How much time are you going to dedicate yourself? Because that's how I was thinking is, I would have to be dedicated totally to that. But to me, it sounds like you're more of, because you have a lot of other businesses too.
Sure.
So how do you...
A business like that, the first 6 months might be 2 to 3 hours a month.
That's
it? Well, I mean, again, because if I'm my biggest asset would be me working on it, not in it, right? I don't need to work in it, but I'd be thinking, you know, okay, they're still using a fax machine. How do I systematize this? They don't have a website. They don't have lead gen. Like, these are things I know how to do. I don't do them. I have people I'd outsource to. I would collaborate the team. I'd be like, hey, Antonio, I need lead gen. Hey, Ed, I need this. Hey, Pat, I need this. Hey, Pat. And I'd put everyone on one email. Hey guys, good news. We just bought a new company, xyz.com. Site sucks. We need lead gen. We need you to put your magic on it. Here's our vision. Here's our goal. Here's the team. Get it done. It'd be done within 2 weeks. I'm not doing any of it.
You're talking about your team that you have, the people that you know
people
and trust.
I know. I know, like, and trust.
But what about the people that are there? Because if it's a $5 million business, how many employees?
37, that one.
So how do you do? Do you want them to know who you are? Or do you want to be like behind the scenes?
I own many companies. No one even knows I own them. Typically the owner and the owner, like, it's an ego play. Like, they need to know I'm the owner. I'm not trying to be the owner. I'm trying to be a director and a leader. So if anything, I would prop the individual up that's driving the day to days. Cause as you know, an outsider coming in, you're going to have the outsider coming in. You're going to lose people. Cause especially looking like me, the way I talk, these are good old boys. I'm like, this guy said, fuck, like, what is he talking to me like that? Right. You know, like, and it's just way, I'm just excited. For me, it's more like I'm going to go one to my guy. I'm going to go to the guy that is running the organization. I'm going to say, hey, you know, you're the guy. And I'm going to prop him up. And I'm going to be like, you own this show. I'm here to support you. I'll guide you. And I'll give you the tools to be more successful than you've ever been. These people are counting on you. And then I'd empower him to empower the team. They don't need to know who I am. They know there's new ownership. They knew, like, who owns the company where we're at sitting at right now? Troon. Who's the owner?
Yeah.
No one knows.
No one knows.
But they know the director.
Yes.
They know the VP. They know all these. So it's like, we got to look at this different. Like, but when we're mom and pop thinking, that's why a lot of people get mom and pop results financially.
Right, man. That's really good. And I'm going to tell you, I learned a lot what you just said right there. Because, and I'll tell you a trailer park story for me. This is actually a good one. When I went to school in Tallahassee, and I started out in real estate, as you know, I was probably 25, 26 years old. I was very aggressive, single, no kids. I went to school in Tallahassee. I didn't graduate, but I went to community college there. And I remember reading I was up there at a football game or something. I remember reading like a local newspaper, and I see trailer park. It said park for sale.
Oh, yeah.
And it said five trailers on it. It's 3 acres, but there's room for more. $99,000. And I'm like, what? I'm reading it. I'm like, this is unbelievable, because I heard good things about cash flow. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
So I buy this thing, right? And this is in a little town called Bristol. It's about 60 miles outside of Tallahassee. I mean, the bank is called The Bank.
Oh, nice.
The restaurant's called The Restaurant. There's no names of it. It's a country, real country. And I went with a partner, a friend of mine. It started out a disaster. Because unfortunately, there's no economy in that town. Everybody works either at the restaurant or the bank. And it might have been an ego thing. What you just said, that's what really got my attention, is maybe it was me just trying to flex and saying, I was like, these people, I want to motivate. I want to get them excited. I want to have good tenants. Yeah. So I had a barbecue there, and I called the guy. I said, I want you to spend $200. He goes, Mr. Todd, $200 at Piggly Wiggly is going to get us a lot. And I go, I want you to get fillets. I'm like, do it up.
Yeah.
So it was funny, because I was the president at the time of Kiwanis Club, and we had a national convention just outside of Tallahassee. And, I took my whole family, and I was like, you know what? At the time, I only had two daughters at the time. So I was older. I was probably 33. And Ava was probably 5, and Grace was just born. And I remember we had a Suburban. I drive a Suburban. I'm like, girls, you're going to see how it is in this trailer park. And I think I called it Patton Park.
You know, okay.
Again, yeah. Feed into my ego. I was like,
that's awesome.
But I pulled it in, and I had this barbecue. So it's all set up. I had the guy flipping burgers, and I look over, and I hear Nicole's like, where's Ava at? I'm like, no. And I look over, I hear, I look over, Ava's behind an ATV with a 16-year-old girl with a Marlboro Red. Astro coming behind. I'm like, and Nicole's freaking out. I go, Nicole, they're kids. Yeah. In park, and you don't have that. But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was actually a good experience. But that was my trailer park story.
That's awesome.
But anyway, we're coming to an end here, and I just want to finish with today. Like, what are we doing today? You mentioned a million to...
1 million. My goal, so like everyone, again, I think long-form content needs to be said, so people sharing the wins, the losses, the challenges, the obstacles, the win, all that good stuff. So it's I was sitting there thinking towards the new year, like, how do I take $1 million and turn it into 10 million on the side project? This is another project I got with everything else I got going on, but report back, do a weekly newsletter, share all the details, what I'm buying, what I did, what's working, what's not, how I see the moves, and just share.
So like an example would be this business that you looked at today, not yep. anything happened with that, but is that something you'll basically talk about on like, hey, there's a company I looked at.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, to turn a million to 10 million, it's like, you have to be very conscious of the agenda. Like, I have to 10X the money in 12 months. So it's like, I can't be looking to park money at a 10%, a real estate deal for 10%, even though those are great deals. But like, this pot of money is designed to do something bigger. So it's a more aggressive fund strategy, right? If you will. So it's like, I've already done a deal inside this already. I think that alone will be worth the $10 million. The one deal, and I only put 20 grand in it.
That's why.
Yeah.
What is it? Can you talk about it?
Yeah. Well, again, it's in the agency space in high level lead gen. So I own lead gen companies. And this guy came to me in a lead gen environment that I'm not familiar with, but I understand the games and the dynamics. He's like, I have something, this company I've done stuff with does almost $100 million a year, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'm scared. I can't bankroll it and all that. And I'm like, I'm in. Like, this is what we need to do. What's funny, he used to work for me 8 years ago. And, to me, I'm in a relationship capital business, just like you are. So it's like, listen, some people leave you, some people stay. Some people are just in different journeys and timelines. It's like, dude, good luck. If anything ever comes about, you're a good guy. I'd love to do something with you in the future. and now the futures came.
He reached out to you.
It's happening. It started on the January 2nd. Jeez. So it's already cranking, started generating revenue.
So that's something, if somebody wants to follow that journey, they would just sign up for the news, I guess.
Yeah, the newsletter on the website, Mark Evans.
You have a great website, by the way.
Thank you. I love it. Yeah, we got to grow.
It's just the user experience is awesome.
I'm so bad with that stuff. I've always been old school. My girl, Izzy, she's not my girl. She's awesome. My buddy's wife, she's awesome designer and all that. She loves branding. That's your world, right? So, it's at markevansdm.com, 10 million. /10 million, and they can subscribe. It's free. There's nothing to buy. All I'm going to do is just share content, just share high quality content to give them the big picture of all the crazy stuff we get to look at every day.
That's awesome. And then the last thing I want to ask you, you speak a lot. I know you're out, but do you have like a class that you do yourself? Because I think that's a big part of learning and educating. Is there anything that you have now that is like a conference coming up or something, somebody could see you in action?
Yeah, no, I usually do my birthday bash towards the end of June, early July. That's going to happen, I think, this year in Tennessee and Nashville. But that's the only thing I really have on the schedule. I don't really try to do a lot of speaking. It's a lot of work. And you got to travel, and I take the fam with me. So it's take the kids out, whatever. But I have the thing, the DM Alliance. That's the date. It's a private group, $1,000 a month. It's $1,000 a month for the DM Dealmaker Alliance. And we're talking about deals. There's 130 people in there. We're talking, we're growing.
You have 130 people?
Yeah, it's amazing, man. It's awesome. Like literally any problem you have could be solved in that group, literally. And I mean, we have people in every industry, every category. It's wild.
Is that a mastermind?
It's a mastermind. We meet weekly every Wednesday at noon for an hour. We meet twice a year in person. We're actually getting ready to meet at Marco Island this weekend, Sunday. Yeah, so like we get a big groups together. There'll be 120 adults and 40-something kids at that one. It's amazing, man.
Jeez, that's cool. How long have you been doing that?
February will be 2 years
for that. So that's fairly new.
How did you get
to 100 that many people?
Well, again, I had pent up demand, right? I've been talking about it, want to help people, they're just ready to go. It's good.
Damn. I want to talk about more about that. But I don't know if you hear that, Mark. I think that's opportunity knocking
every day.
That's it, man.
Every day.
Hey, you gave us some incredible nuggets. This was awesome.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you being my first guest, man.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Awesome. You're the man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep.